art to me is, you know, just a reflection of your life and the images that you created in your own mind, and you just try to share your life. In art world, you'd rather be, you know, famous for just things that you really want to paint, just what really truly inspires you. And I do that when I have time. I think I remember second grade art class, and one of my things making it into the fair. I believe it was like a stork or a pelican or something. And it wasn't until later on in actually elementary school we got a new art teacher, and she really sent me on in the right direction. But I do recall, you know, on those long bus rides with, you know, it gets cold on the inside and you have all these sweaty guys and the windows fog up. And the guys will get me to draw on the window panes that would make the time go by faster. It's our time. It's our time down here. It's their time. It's their time up there.
I'm going to hit you so hard when you wake up, your clothes are going to be out of style.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I love it. You know, life is a lot of definitely who you surround yourself with and definitely who you aim and try to be. And I always try to. You know, the people I look up to is not just probably one certain person, but I try to pick the best qualities that I see in everybody and just use those, you know, or they always come to mind when you need them. So that's a good quality in life.
igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Buyer.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. It is a couples version. A couples version. Today I have two great friends on, Jennifer O'Neill Whetstone and Stephen Whetstone. The last name is not a coincidence. They are a married couple. Stephen, Jen, how are you today?
We're hanging in there.
And Stephen?
I'm ready to go. I just go with the flow. Whatever she says, I'm just trying to step up the bat. I'm always in the batter's box, and when it's my turn, I go in there.
And when she says jump, you say how high?
Exactly.
Well, it works very well that way. I mean, you know, there's an old adage, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
That's not bullshit. That's for real.
I think that's real.
That is for real.
Yes. So would you agree, Jed, if I say she who rules is happy?
Well, No, I wouldn't. I would say that she who rules the final opinion is right and most happy, but not always ruling.
But
you know, sometimes somebody, your husband, gives you an opinion that actually is, you know, you don't really want to say all the time, but especially if you're an alpha female, but you might say, you know what, damn it, he might have a point here, but you don't really want to say it, but then you just go along with it because you know it's going to be the right thing to do. So I would say, yeah, absolutely.
So currently, currently.
And as you hear the alpha female talk, I would just agree.
Yes, you would just agree.
The only reason I'm saying that is because I'm reading a book called Alpha Female, something, something, something.
Right.
Because my whole entire life, I think I've been kind of a silly alpha female, but I think I got it from my mother. And anyway, I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and how to treat my very, very sweet, kind, artistic, sensitive husband lovingly. He's mouthing to me lovingly. Oh my, killing me. But yeah, so I haven't been very sensitive to his needs, and I'm finally figuring that out. For if I'm going to make it to my 5th year anniversary of my marriage, that I've got to change my ways a little bit.
And I have to change mine too. You know, it works both ways, Fox.
It does. I think life is about monitoring and adjusting all of the time. And if you don't do that, if you're not committed to change in some way, shape, or form, it's not going to last. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Like, you always have to be changing and conforming and just pursuing your own self.
Absolutely.
For the truth.
Absolutely.
It's like my boss used to say, it's a working, living document.
It really is. It really
at
is.
At all times, things change, always.
You know, my I'm not married, but you know, the people that I hold a lot of people in
hey,
hot.
Hey, hold on a second. I got to interrupt you for a second. The women are missing the frick out.
They really are.
Yes, they are missing out on Foxy. Are you kidding me? Smoking, and he's so smart and so loving and so bright. I love it.
Yeah, they're missing out on a lot of things, Jen. What is wrong with the world?
Right.
I really want to know. But what I was saying was that I'm not married, but people that I hold in high regard are my parents. And, you know, they've been married for 41 years. And my mother has told me this on a number of occasions. She was married at 20 years old, 2-0. And one of her school teachers, right after she got married, wrote her a letter. Hadn't spoken to my mother in years. And one of the things that she wrote to my mother in that letter was, marriage is a job. Do you feel like it's a job in some ways?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we both feel that way, for sure.
It's such a give and take, and it's such a...
Commitment,
and then you get irritated, and then you have to figure out whether you're going to be irritated back, or if you're going to be... forgiving, or, you know, and that plays into so many other things too, right? So it is. I kind of laugh at, that's terrible to say. I shouldn't say that.
Should I say that? Yeah, you say whatever.
I say, I don't laugh, but I take pause at people who get married so young these days, but then I take pause at people who get, I don't know, maybe it's just marriage. I don't know. It was so difficult. I think people have this ideological thing that it's, oh my gosh, it's about the white dress and the big reception, all that kind of stuff. But it's not. It's about everything after that, you know? I mean, it's like...
It really is. I think definitely, you know, culturally down south, you know, a bunch of girls think it's about the white dress, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of girls, and the bridesmaids and all that. Yeah. And since we live down... in the South region, but...
South region, baby, we are in the freaking South.
You're in the spot. You're in God's country. You're in the best place in the world.
The point made is, you know, people get married for different reasons and different times and different situations, and it all depends on what you're getting married for and if you love the person, if you're going to stick by them, or if you're not. Love them through the worst times and love them through the annoying
Annoying.
Not annoying.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a wordsmith.
That's quite all right.
Well, that's where I pick up the good stuff.
And, she picks up my slack.
Right, and I can't draw a happy face.
Right.
So there you go.
question for both of you.
Our beautiful soul ship and a happy place because of Stephen.
Question. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just, you know, sometimes it's opposites attract.
Yeah, we are very, very opposite of each other. Amazing how opposite we are. Like, she's totally business-minded, totally a salesman, totally A-type personality. I'm your happy-go-lucky, I guess people would say, although I do treat my job like a business, maybe I don't know how business works. And it's tough for me to paint, you know, and... be business-minded at the same time. And I think a lot of artists...
Have the same issues
that right. I do. And even the most successful ones usually have somebody else doing the business stuff for them. But I would say my wife should do it, but that wouldn't work out. She busts my balls already.
It's just part of the experience.
24/7. That'd be a full-time damn job. And then I'd start having to, like, make you pay for my services. That would not work. That would be a deficit to our income, for sure.
The truth. Question for you both, and speak to this. I've heard this before. Marriage is not about what you say. It's about what you do. So, Jen, you want to start?
You're bringing up a good subject, Fox.
Let's go for it.
I think it works on both ends, really.
Right. I mean, we struggle with that because as much as I like to be a wordsmith, Stephen also likes to be a wordsmith in order just to make me happy. You know, just he says the things sometimes to make it, but maybe that's not exactly how he feels or what he's going to do. But he just, for the time being, he will say those things to make me happy.
He knows you so well. He knows how to push certain buttons, correct?
What's that?
He knows you so well. He knows how to push certain buttons.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Vice versa.
And vice versa.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. What do you think?
I forget the question right now.
He is just so engaged. Was he listening or not? So here's the quote again. Marriage is less about what you say and more about what you do.
You know, like,
yeah.
I feel from Jen's stance, I think everybody has their own, like, preference on that, and there needs to be a happy medium. Obviously, I think Jen, the wordsmith, will say, is very about what you say is what you do, and then
you have you, but you what you say is what you have to do.
Right, yeah. Credibility.
And then don't deliver on it. That irritates me. It makes me very upset.
Exactly. And then I'm more about
minutia.
Like I'm more about like I try to do and I massage everything. Like not when I say massage, just like I try to make everything great. It's not about my words, sort of say, but it's like I'm trying to...
Make me happy for the time being.
Make her happy for the time being.
Yeah.
Right, right. Just
And those are, you know...
It's honest,
and it's a give and take. It really is. And, you know, the true testament, I think, to marriage, and we're struggling with it, like I think all couples struggle with marriage, is... just the give and take is how much can I give at this moment and how much can I take?
Right.
And at the end of the day, it depends on how much you can give and how much you can take.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, love falls in there and all the other emotions, and then you have backup emotions. Marriage is a crazy life. And especially, I feel like for us, like, we've been through the ringer of illnesses and
yes,
babies and births yep. that we've lost and cancer
treatments
and just ongoing onslaught of, you know, life thrown.
This is why we like to have a cocktail on a Friday night.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons.
But, you know, everybody needs an escape, and at the end of the day, you should be able to talk about it and not feel guilty talking about what
you
feel.
The person that you love the most.
That's right.
One of the things that I'm hearing a lot from you all now is definitely honesty. Just being honest, not hiding anything.
You can't. I mean, what good does that do you?
No.
It
just delays the inevitable.
Sometimes you can be a little... I don't want to say dishonest, but you can maybe sway the truth a little bit, like when you're in college and you had to tell your parents something or something like that. But when you're married, you got to throw it down. I mean, there's just no room for anything else. Otherwise, you're just making each other possibly, I don't know the situation of everybody that would listen to this, possibly more miserable. I mean, you got to be honest with how you feel. Otherwise, what are you doing? I mean, why would, you know, you're going to make yourself more miserable, or are you going to make somebody else more miserable?
Right.
Assuming that you would already be miserable, but if you're just not being honest with it, you can't go through the ebb and flow.
Right, and you can't
be honest.
You can't fix a problem if at first you're not honest about it.
Right. You got to be honest about where you are and how you feel about it and what's going on, for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm hearing...
at our struggles, you know, it's a good and bad thing, and we always try to, might take a few days, but we try to work through it somehow.
I am absolutely the worst. I'm like the atypical woman. I will hold on shit for 3 days or 3 weeks.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. Like, my feelings will get hurt, or I'll be pissed off about something, and I cannot freaking let it go. No matter if he wants to bring me breakfast or offer me dinner or whatever, I'm like, set it up. Just put out. Mm-hmm. And I think on Stephen's side, he's not sometimes the most, he's not the best communicator.
No, that's true.
So when
he
wants to say things, and I know what he's trying to say in his so sweet voice, I'm just pissed, and I don't really want to fucking hear it. I really don't. I'm so upset and I'm so ticked off that I, you know, whatever he's going to say, I don't really want to hear it. Eventually, I realized to myself, I don't like feeling this way. I don't like feeling upset. I don't feel like being mad, and I don't want to do anything. And so when he keeps coming around and being sweet, then I eventually give in and say, okay, I don't really want to be angry anymore. Although we never verbally actually say that, it just kind of happens.
So it's Stephen's persistence that gets you through all of this.
Yeah.
It does.
It's persistence.
You know, when you have somebody who likes to over-communicate, and then somebody who doesn't communicate very well, and then somebody who shuts down and then probably makes her partner shut down, you know, sometimes it's just an eye or a look or a, hey, let's hang out on the back porch and have a drink. What we're doing tonight.
Perfect.
Awesome. And this is the best therapy ever. Hey, Foxy, one thing that I would like to let you ask Jennifer is just her outlook on life and her struggles going through cancer.
I don't want to talk about that.
We will.
You're so great. Maybe that might be another.
No, it's podcast or it's definitely coming up. I mean, we've mentioned it, so we have to get there.
So much on. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I feel like Jennifer has so much on life to share and. Such great things to do. Like, she's such a wonderful wordsmith at the end of the day and loves to share her story. Like, I would like to hear it at one point.
We're definitely going to get there. I mean, we just heard that Jennifer is a cancer survivor, people. That is real.
Jennifer made her living and done it wonderfully. Like, I just want to brag on her just a little bit because...
Don't do that.
Please
well,
do.
I want to do it for
please
one
do.
Second. Fox says, please do.
Okay.
She, you know, has been a salesman pretty much most of her adult career, whether it was hair products or medical supply sales to big medical equipment sales, which is actually the creme de la creme of the industry of medical sales is when you actually start selling the big daddy equipment. And she busted in when it was a guy's world, as a girl with a company and was getting into hospitals that no other man had ever gotten into. Like, she knows what she's doing. She knows people and she can read people and she's just an amazing person when it comes to her job. Like, she was the best at it. And for her not to work, let me tell you, when she decided, or she didn't have to decide, but just medical reasons decided for her that she couldn't work anymore.
Robert just popped my lip. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, our dog jumped onto her lap. We're sitting on the back porch, which we always love to do.
Of course.
Our family place.
Of course.
She's getting a swollen lip, so she has a lisp. At the end of this, we know why.
Yes, we do. Continue.
She's great at what she does and at what she did. And she really, she misses it every day. Like, that on itself was a 2-year struggle for her to be able to just not working anymore because she was such a go-getter, such a hard worker, such a go-after-it person. And she traded that to survival. She traded her job and go getting that business and go getting that life to, I'm going to survive my brain cancer. I'm going to survive my astrocytoma tumor. I'm going to survive the surgery. I'm going to survive radiation. I'm going to survive chemotherapy for 3 years. Like, she's a freaking trooper, and she's only 5. I call her only 5 foot because I'm 6'5".
I'm
5'4". She's 5'4". On good day.
So it wasn't just her diagnosis that she had to adjust to and cancer and brain cancer, but it was the lifestyle that she had to adjust to because she had cancer that was also doubly tough.
Yeah, and she can attest to this more because I'll tell you this, for 2 years, just on my end, for 2 years, every time we saw the doctor, she asked them, when can I go back to work? When can I fully involve myself? So let her go.
She was looking toward the future already. So, Jen, are you there?
What?
Just the adjustment?
Yeah.
Oh,
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you if you care to, can you go back? When did you get the diagnosis, and what were some of your first thoughts?
I got the diagnosis in 2011.
Okay.
From a grand mal seizure. She didn't know she had a brain tumor until she had a grand mal seizure and was rushed to the hospital.
Right.
Right. And I thought, my first thoughts were, well, this is kind of cool. This is another freaking challenge that I'm going to overcome.
Immediately.
I can get approved of everybody. Pardon?
You immediately thought that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I immediately thought that. I waited like 4 or 5 days before I told my parents. I told my sister immediately, but I waited to tell my parents because I wanted to kind of work through my emotions and make sure that I had myself straight and understood exactly how I felt. And then I asked my sister and my brother-in-law, James, to come out to my parents and have kind of a, you know, one-on-one conference kind of thing. And, of course, they all obliged me, and I came out there with a level head, a smart head, a reasonable head, and said, here's the deal. I know y'all going to be upset. If I had a daughter, I would feel the same way, but I can't speak to that because I never have, but I just want y'all to know that I'm cool with this. I can handle this. We can do this. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it just happens. And sometimes it tests our faith in God. So at that point, I knew I was going to be in God's hands.
Right.
No matter
what it was. I didn't know it was going to be okay or not okay. But whatever was to come, I was accepting my fate.
Mm-hmm. But you were no way you were going to give up, but you were just accepting whatever your fate was, you were accepting it, but you were no way giving up.
Correct. But you either accept what you have as far as mentally and emotionally,
mm-hmm.
but the fight, my God, I'm a fighter. My mom and my sister and my family have all talked about, they all say, I wish I could have gotten this disease instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are y'all kidding me? You wouldn't be able to handle this shit. There's mm-hmm. no way. I am the toughest mofo in this family that can do this. And so I'm so glad if somebody in our family that God was going to give this to, I'm so thankful it was me. Because I can handle it. I still am handling it 6 years later.
Right.
And every checkup, you handle it because you never know if it's coming back or not.
Correct. It's still ongoing, and that's fine. We can do that.
And every 3 months or 2 months or 1 month that we go back, like, she handles it, you know? That's the tough part, too, you know? Fox is just, the monthly or two monthly, 3 monthly grind, basically two that we've been on throughout 4 or 5 years that we've been married.
Right.
Is, you know, in heightened tensions and, you know, you can grasp the,
you know, here's
you really can like cut the thickness of tension in the air.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me interrupt you, Stephen, just for 1 second, if you don't mind. I'm just going to say that I always have to drive wherever we're going because...
You grab the phone and start talking about driving. Yeah. Hey, if we're starting to talk about driving, she needs to just grab the mic and drop it.
Because I'm going to tell you this. We had to go to Duke for my stuff.
Right.
Sometimes I would let Steven drive, but mostly I would not like for him to drive, but it was such a long trip that we normally either had to divide it, but it was the anticipation. I was so nervous. He's such a slow freaking driver, and it would drive me bonkers. And so I'm not like, yeah, Steven, safety first, which drives me bonkers. I don't care about safety. I just want to get there on time, a little ahead of time.
You don't care about fire hydrants or cats or dogs. Just get there on time.
Exactly. Exactly. And actually, I feel like 15 minutes early. I'm like old people now. I want to be there early. And so when we would drive up there and all that, we would try to make it into like a fun date night or like a fun time and stuff. But we had some great times up there. We made friends with this amazing proprietor of a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
In Durham, which was probably like 3 miles or 4 miles from where the hospital was. And it's called the, Steve, what was the name of that place? It was the Farmer's Daughter's Inn in Durham, and I'd love to give them a shout out if this ever makes it to thing, because they are just amazing people.
It will make it. So you're talking about the people that you met over at Duke when you were going for your treatments, correct?
Right. It was where we had to stay because it was 4 hours away, so we'd always have to go the night before and stay at this particular inn that we just arbitrarily booked the inn, and then it ended up being like this home away from home. And I would look forward to going and seeing the innkeeper and her husband, and Deanna is her name.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yeah, and they ended up making like their own. Stephen, was it preserved jelly? What was it? I can't remember. Anyway, we bought, no, it was granola. Holy crap. Why did I get that messed up? It was granola. Yeah, it was the granola that Deanna used to make. You remember that? And I bought some. They sell it online, and it really, really is so good.
Each room is special.
I know it.
Because the hotel itself used to be a,
let me think.
Like an old lady.
Yeah.
Not a retirement, but
it was a retirement home for women. And so that like there's some rooms that are kind of, moderately sized, and but they're all decorated beautifully. I mean, you know, fine linens and this.
Like the rooms are named after the ladies
that stayed there.
Got you.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's amazing.
It's really, really cool. Really cool.
It's on the probably north side of the East Campus of Durham.
Yeah.
If you know about Durham,
Duke's East Campus.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So we could go there and like walk around the East Campus, or I could take a run or whatever. I mean, it was really to think that it would be such a sucky trip. It really was like a fun trip every time we went up there, because we got to see people that we loved and adored, and whether the information we got back was good or bad, we always tried to make it a good trip. You know, it was always tried to make it a good trip. I mean, what choice do you have?
You're right. You don't have a choice.
Right, you can either be an asshole or you can look on the bright side, whatever. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm a big believer in this, Jen. I don't know if you've read the book, "The Power of Positive Thinking," Norman Vincent Peale, but he talks a lot about the effect that positive and negative thoughts can have on you, and he actually tells the story of a true story written in this book of a man who had gum cancer, and he spent time, his own therapy was, I'm going to sit my butt down in the chair at the kitchen table, and I am going to picture myself cancer-free. And that was part of his own therapy, and he did this for months, and at the end of his life, he was cancer-free. I mean, how much do you believe in positive thinking and positive self-talk, and how has that helped you kick cancer's ass?
Mm-hmm. First.
Yeah. Hold on. Stephen wants to answer first.
Go for it.
He cut out all of that. Okay, go.
You know, being just from the outside perspective of Jennifer and that whole ordeal, is mindset is everything. And, you know, Fox, like everything that you've gone through, mindset has been everything. And I can read it in the poems that you write. I can read it in your daily makeup and your life when you wake up. It's embedded into you. Well, Jennifer has the same fight inside of her, and that's why I wanted you to talk to her, because I know that y'all have that same makeup, and it's just so amazing to see. And I don't want it to go unnoticed, and I wanted her to talk to you, and I wanted her to put it out there on the air in this podcast, just that she is amazing, and that in the fact that she is a fighter, in that she fights every day.
With you normally.
Normally with me. I grabbed the microphone to her because that laugh is so freaking true. But, you know, that's other circumstances too. Like, she, there are times when she's down, you know. She might not be happy with life. She takes it out on the people she loves. I do the same thing when I'm not happy with life, and I take it out on the people I love. Those are just daily emotions that you need to get over and know that when somebody's with you, that they're with you.
You persevere on, period. You know that God is your co-pilot, and I don't mean to be cheesy by saying that. He really is not my co-pilot. He's really my pilot. You know, you I think one reason, and I know this is going to be, I don't know how many people are listening to this, but it's probably going to be controversial, but one of my very best friends, he's always been very controversial in her religion, and she is very much a Christian, and I'm not going to say her name. But she told me a long time ago, she's always kind of helped me through my single day. I was single for 12 years and made a lot of mistakes and made a lot of good decisions, but made a lot of mistakes. And she told me, I forgot what I was going to say.
What did she tell you?
I forgot.
What did she tell you?
About?
You can cut and crop.
Wait, hold on. What were you just talking about?
The person that
actually happens a lot in our relationship, because Jen has actually had a quarter of her brain removed.
I'm not telling that. Just tell me what I was talking about.
You were talking about
You're talking about a woman that was, she's controversial with religion and her choices, and you didn't want to mention her name.
It was Allison Wiley. But I can't remember why I was talking about Allison Wiley.
You were just,
Why would I be talking about her? God, I feel so stupid right now. I can't remember.
No, that's okay.
Well, this happened. And this is like a daily occurrence. And this is good because things happen like this, you know. I have to try to keep up every second, and she has to try to keep up with every second.
I forgot. What were we talking about there?
Actually, I mean...
So, to interject... Jen, I think
you... I know. What did you ask me about that? Oh, I know. So, Allison said something to me when I first got diagnosed that really, really hurt my feelings. And she said, because I said something to her, like, maybe this is God's answer to some of my sons. And when she said, well, maybe so, she didn't say, no, Jennifer, no, that would never be the case. Otherwise, she said, well, maybe so. And she was probably one of the most
influential spiritual people of your life.
Yes, at that point in time. And I have, obviously, it's been 7 years ago, and I have not ever forgotten that when she said that, because when I started diving into spirituality, not spirituality, but
when you met Jesus face to face, because you were going to die if you didn't do anything about it.
Well, when I was, you know, had like 3 weeks before when I had that seizure to when I had my craniotomy. And wow. So in between those 3 weeks, I went back to work, and
wow,
it was just, and as a matter of fact, that was in Richland OR. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they flew somebody in, one of my quote unquote professors to tell me about all the anesthesia equipment to make sure that I was okay, that I could do what I was doing because they knew that I had impaired brain function.
Work-wise.
Yeah, work-wise. And the guy that came down was like, Jennifer, after like 2 days of us being in the OR together, he was like, you are so fine. It's unbelievable. It's because I didn't feel any differently. You know, I was able to have, at that point, my energy and my cognitive skills and everything that I needed. And I was bound and determined that that was not going to, regardless of how big the tumor was, it was not going to impair me what I love to do, which is to work what I was doing at Space Labs.
Right.
With the people that I had and everything that I was doing, and I just loved it. I just loved it.
Our work was like being on, you know, our team, Fox, that we played together in college. Like,
yeah.
She was on a great team.
Yeah.
So.
It was, like, I miss that almost every day. Like, I guess the farther I get away from it, I don't think about it every day, but initially.
For 3 years, like, she would ask the doctor, when can I
go back? Can I go back? Can I go back? Can I go back?
Mm-hmm.
But
Stephen and I talked about it on just earlier on, the importance of surrounding yourself with good people. And it seems, Jen, through your journey, you've just met more and more great people. And I'm hearing some of the, dare I say it, some of the blessings of cancer. You're finding more and more great people. Question for you, Jen. Is this, what advice do you have for people with cancer or are newly diagnosed with cancer?
Really great question. If you're not grounded either in your thoughts and your words and your actions of God, you're going to be really quickly.
Okay.
Period. Because at that point, you know that it's not up to the doctors and it's not up to treatment. And it's not up to your spouse, not up to your family. It really is up to our Lord. And if you don't have that faith, if you don't have that trust, it might be happenstance for some people. But for me, I think the reason that I have outlived most of the people who have what I have is because of my faith. And I feel like I'm here for a purpose.
You have a story to tell, and you're glad to share it.
Yeah.
I really do feel like she has a story to tell, Fox, and that this is a wonderful outlet for her to share it.
It is. We're getting a lot of the story right now. It's great.
I have some outlets to share her story because it's me just looking at it from a day-on and day-out view.
Right.
Like, especially for the first 2 or 3 years of our marriage and her going through it, like I tried to encourage her to share and to be a part of her sharing because, and even others have told her, like, because she is a wordsmith, like, you should write it down. You should write what's going down.
I agree. You know, I agree.
Life gets in the way and people don't do what, you know, you only feel that when you feel it. And it's an artistic thing at the same time, but
like I swap it down on paint, I would.
Yeah, truth, truth.
She could slap it down with a freaking graphite pencil or a big pen, but she doesn't.
She should.
Whip.
Jed, I would say this.
Yeah, because
I don't. That's true. Oh dear. Oh dear. Couples retreat. But as a school teacher, and Jen, please, and I've done it for a while now. We, as teachers, we never know the impact that we have on our students. I mean, it's infinite. And your story and the fact that you're kicking cancer's butt right now, I mean, you're affecting so many people in a positive way just by living the life that you want to live. I hope you realize that, and I can hear it in your voice. You're damn proud of doing what you're doing, and you should be, and you should share your story more. Stephen is right. I mean, you're empowering so many people right now. It's amazing.
I appreciate that, Foxy. I don't feel that way. You know, I just feel like it's just my daily life and my outlook, and I don't think that's special from any other, you know, person that's gone through it or people that have struggles on any realm of life. You know, I mean, there are some people who have economic struggles. There are some people who have professional struggles. There are some people who have familial struggles. And then there are people that have health struggles. And so one health struggle is not more important or less important than another. You know, I mean, we all have something, you know,
we do.
A family member that has something, you know, and so it's about, you know, grounding your faith and what your attitude is about that. You know, you can't overcome anything with a bad attitude. I mean, that just sucks for everybody.
It really does. It really does. But no, I agree with you. That's the way that I think too. I think about all the other people in the world that have it harder than I do.
Right.
That's what gets me through it. Like, I don't want to say nobody cares, but people have their own struggles. And so I'm just going to go through mine. That's really the mindset you have to have. But again, as someone who thinks exactly like you do, I do agree with your husband. I think you need to find other opportunities and take advantage of other opportunities to tell your story, because hearing it right now, the hair on the back of my neck is sticking up. And I think if anybody listens to this podcast, they're going to feel the same way. Period.
No, what?
I totally agree, Fox. And, you know, the first few years of our marriage, wanted her to write like her story down, like it was going to be some romantic novel that somebody would make a movie out of. Because I'm a hopeless freaking romantic, right?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, young genius.
Say it again, baby. I'm what?
He's retarded. Mentally challenged.
I'm mentally challenged.
Get the heck out of here! No, you're not. But
the thing is, you know, Fox, is that Jen has a wonderful outlook on life, just the way that you do, and if we come to grips with our challenges and try to find the positivity through all of it, we can overcome those. Yeah, some of us lose, some of us win in the end, and some of us live on by sharing. And it's really about sharing to our neighbors, and it's about sharing to the public, and it's about really giving what's been given to us, right? Like we talked earlier with our podcast and who our heroes were, and we take our, and I said that I really didn't have anybody that I really looked up to. I looked up to my wife, and
you don't.
She would say,
"No, you don't."
She would say, "I don't," because we have our own arguments as a marital person. I say person because when you're married, you are kind of intertwined, and you are that thing.
Sorta.
And if you can't see my fingers right now, they're intertwined.
Except he has a PP, and I don't.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but at the end of the day, Fox, like, you really want, and I think the longer that I live and the more God has blessed me so much to be around so many wonderful teachers, wonderful coaches, like we said, wonderful people that put you in the right place at the right time. And God,
yes.
And we know Jennifer and I are firm believers in God and Jesus. And
as well am I.
Doesn't matter, but this is what we believe. And I'm wholeheartedly involved in it. And know that it's worked in my life, and I see in other people's lives that happen, but Jen's a true testament of just sticking with her guns, doing what she needs to do, and being a fighter. And we all need to be a fighter in some circumstance or another at different times in our lives, and it's a wonderful thing.
It is, man. Challenges can be a wonderful thing. But I do, before we end up here, I do want to play the game What, Which, and Where. Are you up for it?
Yeah. What, Which, and Where. Yeah.
What does that mean?
He asked you, like, the seller of the game, because I just played it. I didn't get three of the answers right at all.
Okay, well, let me hear from it. So, what is it, Box?
So, Jennifer, I'm going to read you either a movie quote, a quote from a book, or a line from a movie, and you've got to tell me from who it came from or from where it came from.
Oh, my God, it's going to be terrible. Okay, go ahead.
That's what all of our contestants say, and a lot of them do very, very well. So, question, are you ready?
Okay, I'll do it.
So what,
I'm not saying I'm ready, but I'll do it.
That's quite all right. So you can just huddle up together when I give you the quote and see if you can figure it out.
For a new year, if I know something.
Okay, that'd be great.
We'll do a couple of them. I'm ready. So here we go. And it's from a previous podcast, so our returning listeners will know this. It's from a movie. It goes like this, quote, "I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged."
Is that the Caged Bird Flops or whatever? Is that right?
I don't know. Like, the only movie I can think of is Dumb and Dumber with the bird that dies.
Well,
that's funny, too. I don't know. Could it be Sylvester and Katie? I don't know.
So it's a movie about freedom, starring, among others, Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins.
Oh, but Redemption.
You are correct, Jennifer.
Yay! Love that. That's probably one of my top 10, no doubt.
And I heard that. That was the guitarist and the musician that you did that with. And I heard that.
Yes, with Ross. Ross was outstanding.
I listened to it by...
That's so not cool that you have that in a band.
It's
not
I
right.
know, but I didn't even realize it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Memorization?
No.
Maybe?
Well, hello.
Okay, the hits keep on coming. So here we go. The next quote will be commonly messed up song lyrics. Are you ready?
Commonly
misinterpreted and messed up song lyrics.
Oh, Lord, that's a great category. Okay, go ahead.
You call me
out.
I don't know.
No. Both of you. This is...
Listen, Steven messes up lyrics all the time. We were driving down the road, and I'm like, what are you saying?
Hey, as long as you got the gumption, it doesn't matter what lyrics are, as long as you're on beat, is what I say.
That is what you say.
I can't wait for this one. So
okay,
it goes like this. A song from the Black Crowes, okay? Is the song's name Tell Us Again or Jealous Again?
It's Jealous Again.
It's Jealous Again.
Are you sure?
Yes, 100%.
Jealous.
So, Steven, are you sure?
I'm pretty positive because I wouldn't tell us again. I would just be jealous.
Jealous. Oh, jealous again. Is it jealous?
Yeah, you're correct. That is correct. Two for two.
Yay! I knew it. I love Black Crowes.
Okay. Let's go to a little bit of the Northeast, a band from New York City, the Ramones.
I don't know them very well.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a song title again. Is the song title Let's Creep Up or Blitzkrieg Bop?
Let's creep. Say it again because we don't even know Creep Up or Creep Bop. Right?
Is it Bop or Bop?
So is the song's name Let's Creep Up or Blitzkrieg Bop?
It's the second thing you say in even English.
It's actually...
This takes us into another round, Foxy. I watched a title on CMT, like the country music station, yes, the other day, and yes, they were talking about proper English.
Yes, yes.
And how actually, the South is actually even more proper English than the North. And so, although that we might be slow in talking, we are actually saying it more in the same dialect.
We're very quick to listen when your shit ain't right.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't hear.
So let's.
I'm listening. I just can't hear.
That's okay. That's okay.
But we might choose the first one over the second one, whatever you said.
Okay.
So let's break it down.
We choose the first one, Fox.
So the first one is Let's Creep Up. LETSCREEP UP. Okay? That's the first, right, the first title. Right. The second title, that word Blitzkrieg, is actually a German word. It's for German warfare, spelled BLITZKREIG.
I'll say that one.
So she can say German, I'll say America.
Okay, you say American, I say German.
Okay, so Stephen, you are for Let's Creep Up, and Jennifer, you are for Blitzkrieg, yes, Bop. Is that correct?
Yes.
Drum roll, please.
That's correct.
Drum roll, please.
Hey, this is all for my men in blue out there, and all for my warriors. America.
My mama lived in Germany for 2 years. She loved it.
She was on an army base of America, not America.
That's right. That's right.
So, ladies, ladies, gentlemen, the correct answer is Blitzkrieg Bop.
She thinks she wins, but it's still America at the end of the day.
It truly is. So
hey, give us one more, Mike.
Sure. One more, double or nothing. We have Jennifer 2, Stephen 1. Okay.
I at least need to tie.
We need to tie it up here. Okay.
What you got?
Here we go. Where did this come from? Quote, what happens when life's events, they just don't make sense, and everything's on the contrary, not on the schedule or itinerary.
I don't have a clue.
So what was the question?
Here we go. Stay with me. What happens when life's events, they just don't make sense? Everything's on the contrary, not on the schedule or itinerary.
So what happens after that?
Well, that's the quote. That's the quote. What happens when life's events,
do we need to quote? Is it a movie or which?
I don't know, but if that's not my quote, it needs to be.
It's very popular and relevant to this podcast, not only because it has to do with a lot of Jen's story.
It's in your book.
Is it?
Huh?
It's in your book, Foxy.
Is it in his food? No, the it is his attitude. You are correct, Stephen. It's from Letter Kindling.
Blah, blah, blah. Pulling
twice,
blah, blah, blah.
Oh, goodness gracious sakes, alive.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
So
I like it. I was about to say, Fox, if that wasn't my quote, it needs to be. I'm going to memorize that. That's great.
So I'll
tell you what. I would imagine every married couple could actually talk to you and actually gain something out of your questions and being honest.
I would agree with that.
I believe that you try to get the honesty out of people, which is a great thing. And I believe that your podcast is a actually wonderful thing because I've heard
it's very loving.
Pretty much everyone, and they've all been inspirational. And I hope that Jennifer and I have shared some sort of knowledge being married.
We're not married. You're still trying to date me. I don't know what you're saying.
And that's what marriage is about. Feel like we're married and I can get old and fat and I'm still trying to, and she feels like I'm still trying to date her. I told you, Fox, like my wife is amazing. I'm just lucky to actually try to keep up with her.
You bet.
She'll have me. And I think we need to end it on that note because if we ever want to do another couple's thing, We're more than willing.
I
talk
think,
to us in about 6 months and see where we are.
Did you hear that? West Columbia, that another couple sang. Did you hear that?
Sang.
I love it.
No, it's great. This is something we definitely need to pursue.
He says I'm from West Columbia, but she's from more country than I am. Don't let her. She didn't even grow up without shoes, Fox.
She did?
She ran in cow pastures and horse fields without shoes, riding go-karts and all this stuff.
Listen.
And eating mushrooms and berries instead of going home and getting a peanut butter and jelly.
Listen.
It was not mushrooms and berries.
So don't let her tell you all this
city stuff.
That's the things that married couple just pick on each other about.
Right,
but,
about
yeah,
their background.
We've enjoyed tonight so much, Foxy, and
yes,
thank you for
you,
having
Foxy.
Us both.
Absolutely. I feel so blessed and so honored that you called us and let us chit-chat.
And you need to have Jennifer on every month.
Yes, and we're definitely going to do that. Thank you all so very much. This has been therapeutic for me, and it will be for our listeners. So thanks again.
Love you.
Love you all too. Love you all too.
Okay.
This will wrap up your special episode of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Jennifer, Stephen, and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer, because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Which do you believe is a more loving animal? Is it a tiger or a rooster?
It's a tiger! Woo! Norman agrees. Our dog is...
Well, no, our dog always agrees when Jennifer yells really loud at a high-pitched level. Jen is, you know, like, obviously we know that she's a very dominant lady and everything, and he has a Clemson freaking
collar
that I walk him on every day, and it gets to me every morning that I walk him. I don't know what to tell you other than that.
That's,
but
I would tell you this, Foxy, he's very good at keeping the peace.